Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the AI Fantasy Football Show. I'm your host, as usual, Guy Drinkle. And joining me are my two regulars. How are you doing, Jay?
All good, mate. Coming off the back of a lovely 5-0 spanking of Atalanta, which we've not had that to say very often in the past few weeks. It's been grinding out results. So, yeah, feeling good. Just hoping that America, the weird nation that they are, decide to do the right thing. It looks like it's going that way, so... All being well, it could be a nice day.
Yeah, well, let's not be overly confident because it is 2020 after all.
It is.
So let's see. There'll be something to screw it. Simon, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad as well. Pretty good. Had a nice week of fantasy football. Very much enjoyed that match last night, and yeah, that's it.
That'll do. That'll do. So it seems like everyone had a decent week because it was a high average game week. I got
no.
Well, everyone who matters.
I'm below you. I didn't have a good week. That says it all.
Well, exactly. Well, I got 59 because I took a -4. So it's all right. It's all right. Nothing too impressive. Grealish got 15. Ings 6. Lewin 8. Pudence 8 and Lamptey 9, not much else, so a couple high scorers, but nothing too impressive. But how'd yous do?
Poor, 41, and I took a -4 because panicked and didn't make a change to. Oh, no, I never panicked. I just made me one transfer I made actually was Foden to Zaha, which failed miserably because he got a yellow card and didn't do nothing else. So my top point scorer in my whole team was Nelson Semedo, who got me 8 points for a clean sheet for Wolves. We joint up with Calvert-Lewin. I got goals from Werner and Ings, and that was it. Lamptey was on my bench because I was stupid. Mane was my captain, who got 4. Barkley and Son, 2 apiece. Arnold, to Martinez got a spanking off Southampton, so he got no points. So,
yeah,
so 41, so -4, 37. Very, very bad week.
Yeah, it's always better when I do some better than someone on my podcast. That's how it is. Simon, how did you do?
I got 66 points. It's pretty good. Kilman finally with a few points, which is nice. I bought him for 4 million, so he seems like a nice little pick. And then Salah captain, Grealish, and then up front they had Kane, Werner, and Calvert-Lewin bringing in the points.
Not too shabby. So we'll come back to our teams throughout the pod as we usually do. But I mean, topics wise, we're going to try and keep this a bit more condensed, and try and focus on a few target topics rather than what we usually do and go through every bloody team. But Jay, I mean, the most pressing news from that game week may have not been any high scores, but it's an injury to Danny Ings, and I think it came out with, what was it, 4 to 6 weeks, I think someone put in our group. Yeah,
FPL has got him expected back on the 19th of December, so that's, what, 7 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now? So, and that's coming back in the really busy Christmas period as well, so, I mean, Saints are probably going to need him because he is the main man, so mm-hmm. will he be rushed back? I don't know, and I don't know what he's done, but it's, I mean, he's had knee surgery, so I don't know what he's exactly had done. I've just seen the story that someone had put in the group. So, yeah, he is the man who's going to draw a lot of attention, especially from, I imagine, the majority of players in the game. 16.4 selected, but I think a lot of people have just binned him across the day. Transferred out 190,000, so we've got a discussion to have on who we're replacing with, I think, haven't we?
Yeah, and Simon, I'm not sure if you own him, but how much of a problem is this? Because he's the one who's just below premium striker, if you probably say Rashford, the bottom of premium. And then he's performing better than Jimenez, so it's just a bit of a pickle for a lot of people, I presume.
Yeah, I don't currently own him, but there's not too much that, like, apart from Jimenez, you're probably going to have to go down a little bit or try and raise money and go up to a Werner or a Vardy or someone like that. So, yeah, there's not a lot of options in around that price, and he's such a consistent FPL player as well that I suppose Jimenez would be the best like for like pick, but they have awful fixtures and he hasn't really been in great form, so I don't think he'd be looking at bringing him in. So you could downgrade to Adams, but we don't know how Adams will perform without Ings. Like, I kind of feel like Ings has been a little bit more creative this year than in the past. Adams seems to be the more advanced of the two, actually, so it'd be interesting if, I mean, I presume it's going to be Long, is it? Is he going to play, or is he just going to change? I don't know if they'll change formation, maybe, but I don't think Long is going to fill that same role as Ings. So probably I just get rid and either move down, or if you have the money, move up and probably stay away from the Southampton attack until we watch them play a little bit and see how they line up.
Yeah, I mean, I've already done my transfers, so I'll talk about that a bit later on. But, Jay, is there any obvious transfers in that area you'd think of? I mean, if you've got money, let's say you could go up to 9.5 people. Is there any obvious options for people out there?
Well, I'll start with the lower-priced option is Callum Wilson. That's 6.5 from Newcastle. He's the third highest point scorer in the game at a striker's position. Racked up 12 points last week, 53 in total. So he saves you £1 million if you want to try and maybe bulk your midfield up. That is something that you could look at. Then if you're going to go up in price, then if you've got the money to stretch it, obviously Kane's the obvious one, or Vardy at £10 million. But you could go Gabriel Jesus, 9.3, come back last night, scored a goal. We don't know how long Aguero's out for. It could be 6 months, it could be 6 days. It's Pep, and he likes to lie and send people on mysterious medical treatment. So I'm fully expecting Aguero to be on the bench probably on Sunday, because that's just the way Pep is. But Jesus is fit. I would imagine he starts the weekend. City's next two are us and then Spurs away, so they're a challenge. But I think that might be the obvious one. A lot of people have probably looked at or got Werner, but I've got him myself. He's not returning what I expected him to. I think I had one good week out of him, and he's getting goals, but it's just the one goal. So it's like 6-7 points a week, like, which is not to be complained that when you're having bad weeks and getting 40 points, but you kind of want him to start hitting twos and threes, and he's not really done that apart from 1 week yet. So I may consider going down to Wilson and saving $2 million and then reinvesting it in the midfield, where there seems to be a lot more value for money within the game. The likes of Rashford is a midfielder, for example.
Yeah, I think that's the smart play, because you mentioned the premium assets there. I mean, Kane's the obvious one, but that's a bit of a jump from 8.5 to 11 at the minute.
And he's 44% owned, so
yeah,
differentials, like, a lot of the teams I look at in the leagues I'm in, the majority of people do seem to have Kane.
Mm.
The ones who don't seem to be the ones who just give up on the game, that submit a team at the start of the season, lose interest after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and if you are going to play the game and look for differentials, I think maybe you've got to be smart and look away from Kane. But again, it's the gamble that he, at the moment, he seems to just be on fire.
Yeah, it's a strange one, because, I mean, I'll spoil what I've done now. I've gone back to Werner because I had the money. And
they've got good fixtures, at least in the next two games.
That's what I was thinking, and it's easy. I think I have the money to get to Vardy as well, but I'm pretty sure they play us soon after the international break, don't they?
They play Wolves this weekend, and then they play us after the international break.
Right, okay.
But then they have got a nice, healthy run
Fulham,
after that.
Sheffield in the next, yeah. That's pretty tasty. Could go from Werner to Vardy if I keep the money there, to be fair. And my other transfer, I went Brewster to Adams. So I've took another minus, but the season's gone anyway. It's already gone. But I think if Southampton are to score goals now, it will be Che Adams. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, Shane Long gets two a season.
Yeah, unless they play Walcott up front, and then, I don't know, bring back Gineppo or something, which probably will make more sense to get a better winger into the team, but maybe they use, what's the young lad's name? Obafemi?
Michael Obafemi. I was going to say Obafemi Martin. Yeah. Temptation was there. So yeah.
It'd be interesting to keep an eye on Saints, but I think Che Adams is still a good option. I think he'll just play more of a focal point role now, so. And what did he cost me? He cost 5.8, so it's better than having Brewster.
And he has been starting, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's played every game this season, I think. So, yeah, it makes sense to me. And I think Werner's still the doubt, because Chelsea, the beat, was it Burnley 3-0? Or whoever the beat. And
yes.
It's just a false, maybe just a false thing with Burnley being terrible. So,
you don't know, because I think Abraham started and Werner started on the left.
Pulisic was meant to start as well, so.
Well, yeah, I think Werner was lying to be on the bench in the first release of the team.
Yeah.
And then he got injured or was sick or something, so he was drafted in. So, that he's even a line to say that Werner might not be nailed on every week. Now, I think, as we record this, it's before tonight's Champions League fixtures. So maybe you'll get an inkling on how Chelsea line up this evening. When this pod's out, you will know who they've lined up with. That might give you an inkling to the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. But Simon, I mean, does this put you off from Southampton players in general? Because they do look like one of the better teams going forward. I mean, they were 3-0 up against Aston Villa, and then what, they conceded 2 or 3, I think. So maybe still not the defence, but does this put you off from a Che Adams or a, well, there wasn't really midfield options anyway, but maybe a James Ward-Prowse or something like that?
I don't think I'd be bringing them in anyway, but if I had them, I'd definitely hold on to them. Adams, though, is, I mean, I just because he's so cheap at 5.8, I mean, he could be worth the punt if you're looking for, I mean, like, you're kind of talking Adams, Bamford, Brewster, who's I don't really think he's a great option, but he's cheap. Or Wilson, they're probably the only really options at that price. And I mean, they do have okay fixtures, but Newcastle at home, Wolves away is quite hard, and then Man U at home is a bit of a, you don't really know how that will be. So, and they do seem to play quite attacking football. Ward-Prowse is an interesting one as well. He's so good at free kicks, but he doesn't seem to turn it on that often. That I kind of always thought the issue with him was he never really had the output, but he used to play very well. But he seems to be, he scored 3 in his last 2, which is quite weird for him. He hadn't actually scored or got an assist up until that Everton home match. So whether he's in a little bit of form, and I think with Ings out of the team, he's on penalties, which is quite a big advantage, and he's 5.9. So Ward-Prowse possibly, maybe if you're looking to downgrade someone like James, or if you have Pulisic or someone like that who mightn't play, he could be an option, but I just don't know if the fixtures are good enough. But if you're looking at a person who no one really owns, he's only owned by 5%. And yeah, but I still think it's just a wait and see with them. But unfortunately, their best fixture is Newcastle. So if you're going to take the points, maybe now is the time. But yeah, definitely like Adams, though. I think he's really hitting a little bit of form now.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. But we'll move off to Southampton. The only person I know is Gineppo. If he gets back fit, I think he could be a punt. But that'd simply be a punt. I think he's like 5-5 or maybe even 5. So we'll move on to Jota and Liverpool by extension. We probably did loads of... Well, we were doing the famous AI Pro Plus whilst Thiago and Jota were breaking. So we had this discussion at the time, but did you expect him to be this?
No, in a word. The likes of Sai, Brundish, Dan Kenneth, Sam Maguire, they all put pieces out and said, his numbers are pretty damn good. You're talking Mane level when we sign Mane, but, you don't expect a player to come in and be at the level that our front three are straight away. It's pretty unheard of. Our front three are arguably the best front three in the world. I know Bobby's not been any great cheeks lately, but, it takes a special player to come in and put a marker down and say, I should be playing instead of one of those lads. And what he did last night was Robbie Fowler-esque for me. It was just penalty box striker, running away from defenders, clinical. Fowler was the player I idolised growing up, and it was just because he just scored goals and it didn't make it look hard. And then as I got older, Torres was sort of the player that everyone fell in love with because he just scored goals and it looked so easy to him. And at the moment, Jota is making goals look easy. He's in the right place at the right time. He's made a problem for Klopp, and he's made a problem for FPL players, because in me heart of hearts, I really want to put him in. But my head just says he's probably not starting for the next 2 or 3 weeks, because I think everyone probably expects Bobby to come back in for the City game. If Jota comes off the bench and bags a winner or bags a goal or two, and then there's a serious discussion to be had, because he's not knocking on the door, he's not banging on the door, he's not hammering on the door, he's burst through it and he's slapped his balls on the desk of Jürgen Klopp and said, come on, get me in that team. But FPL just says he can't go in because he might not start every week. And then I don't know how many points you get for coming off the bench for 20 minutes. And all right, he's got 2 goals in the last 2 league games. But is that enough to warrant being an FBL player. I don't know. I don't think it is yet, but I'm sure he's probably top of everyone's watch list if you'd have a watch list on your FBL.
Yeah, I mean, just for the context, he is 6'4", so I think he started off at 6'5", so his price has obviously gone down as he came to Liverpool because he obviously was perceived to not be a starter. But 6'4", I mean, what is that? That's Foden range, Grealish and Zaha 7, aren't they? So,
yeah.
I mean, it's probably more of like what we expect from like City players, isn't it? Is it worth the non-guaranteed starter tag, but when he does play, it's impactful?
Yeah, well, he's bagged 26 points, and I think he's got 8 and 9 in his last two appearances. Before that, 1, 2, and 6, because the first two games he didn't play. He was registered at Wolves, and then his transfer went through when we were playing Chelsea that weekend, so he wasn't registered in time. So 26 points from 5 games, average of 5 points a game, just over, not to be sniffed at. But I think it is genuinely a case of just keep him on the back burner. Just looking at his numbers for this week, over 200,000 have transferred him in. So I would imagine over 100,000 of them have probably been done the last 24 hours off last night's performance. And I would imagine a large proportion of those people aren't Liverpool fans, because if anyone knows anything, they know Bobby's going to start the weekend. So it's a gamble if you do put him in. But yeah, the price bracket he's in, I've had Foden and got rid of them because he's a very similar player. He can come on and change a game, nick a goal like he did against West Ham. But the reliance on him starting every week isn't there. And that's why I went to Zaha. But Zaha is one of them players where it's either all or nothing, and last weekend was nothing for me. But even like the likes of Bowen from West Ham is 6.3. Now, he should be more of a key fixture for them, considering Antonio's out for six weeks, something like that. And I don't know if David Moyes is going to stick with Haller up top, because he was pretty much a statue against us.
He was against a whole defence in 50 yards of space.
Yeah, I mean, that is that to take into account. So maybe you're looking at these players and FPL's got them priced fairly. If you look around, like, even Adama, your man, is not starting every week for Wolves. Yeah. He's 6.3. Like, last season, he was nailed on, wasn't he? And Benrahma for West Ham, 6 million. He's not getting games. Like, there's a lot of these players who they've overbooked the midfield because they've put such top hitters in the likes of Salah, Mane, Aubameyang, Rashford, Son, who were all, what, you'd probably say they were strikers, but then I don't know. If you put all them in the striker bracket, then it would leave you with barely anything from midfield. So it's, you'd imagine foreseeing next year a couple of them players will move back to the striker range and it'll balance out. But yeah, I, at the moment, I'm not putting them in as much as I want to.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I think, obviously, that kind of debate comes back to the to when Aubameyang was announced to be a midfielder. I think it's just strange, really. But yeah, I think it does need a rework, because we mentioned strikers there. If it wasn't for like DCL having a monster start to the year, I think people would be scrambling around thinking, what the hell do I do with my strike for?
You'd go 4-5-1 in FPL.
Yeah, you really would. Like, I'm almost at that stage now with DCL having, I know he scored, but Everton looking poor without two players. It's like, okay, this might be short-lived. But yeah, it's what do you make of it, Si? I mean, feel free to go to focus on Jota as well. But Liverpool at the minute, how Jekyll and Hyde are we? Because defensively strong against Atalanta, I know Alisson made a good few saves, but the Premier League, we just seem to have this sloppiness, whether it's through VAR incompetence or whatever, which is obviously a big talking point. But what do you make of Liverpool at the minute, and how much options they are?
kind of a strange one because I think we've defended fairly well, and it's kind of something we saw. I remember like the first, the kind of like 10 or 11 opening fixtures of last year. I think we only kept two clean sheets and we've kept one so far. And it seemed to be the same thing where it was individual errors. Well, apart from the Aston Villa match, which I think we can all just say was a bit of a just an anomaly of a match. But apart from that, we haven't let up a lot of chances and teams seem to score from the only chance they had. And I remembered that was something that happened last year, and then Alisson was back and it seemed to slowly fix itself, and he seems to be finding his best form. I mean, I thought he was absolutely amazing last night. He probably made two or three world-class saves, and it just feels like there's just these little errors that need to be worked out. And I think it's probably the fact that we're playing so many matches and there's no fans, and it's just most teams seem to be struggling to find clean sheets, but I think it seems to be happening a little bit more now than it was a few weeks ago. So the defense, I think, is I think if you have Trent and Robertson, you could probably sell one. I mean, I sold Trent 2 weeks ago and it's worked out so far, but I think he seems to be kind of starting to come back into the form that we'd expect from him, where he's a lot more advanced, and Robertson seems to be not as advanced as he was in the first few fixtures. So they've kind of went back to more how they were last year. Jada is an interesting one because he's not going to start probably a lot of the time, but he's going to have a huge impact off the bench, and he's probably going to come off the bench in most fixtures. He's probably the first player that we'll look to bring on to make that impact. I know that Klopp has confirmed that Bobby is going to start at the weekend, but that doesn't mean that they both won't play. I mean, he might do the 4-2-3-1 and have them both starting. But in terms of, I mean, you've got Foden and Mount. He's kind of in that same mould where he's not going to play all the time, but I think that those three will probably score about the same points, and I think they are a very good value for money. But it's just, I think if you have a good bench, or you don't mind that you're going to be looking at the team sheets every week with anxiousness, then that's fine. And obviously Salah is a definite hold in the form that he's in, and Mane, I think it's the same as well, and that's probably about it. I think I wouldn't really be looking at anyone else from Liverpool at the moment.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything there. I mean, I saw Trent 2 weeks ago as well. I think I got Robbo in as well, which, so I don't know. I think it'll be fine long term, as you say. We're kind of improving, but it might be a tough one. But I think what, now that we've kind of settled without Van Dijk and Fabinho, it's looking a bit better, but we're still kind of it's just that next centre back next to Gomez, because obviously Phillips played the Prem and then Reece played the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
We're still kind of settling in that place, so it'll be interesting to see who plays against City. Obviously Matip might be back, so that might help settle.
If he plays, I think that will definitely help. But
yeah,
it seems weird that he didn't even come off the bench against that Atlanta. So I wonder, could he maybe put Henderson or Wijnaldum there, possibly? I don't know if he'll trust Williams, or I definitely wouldn't be playing Phillips. It's completely the wrong type of match for him. So it'll be interesting.
It will be. Personally, I think we'll risk Matip because he doesn't play international football anyway. So, and even if he was 100% fit, he'll probably miss the next game anyway. it's just the way it is. But yeah, I think
just super glue them together, put them on the pitch,
yeah, exactly,
and get them back next month.
Exactly, he'll be fine. Just not when we need him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will be all right. will be out. It's I think you do hold the Liverpool options. Like more's a must own at the minute. Like maybe more Son and Kane, maybe not Kane. Maybe one of Son and Kane's is 100% and then so is more. Because the premium options, Sterling's not up to scratch, KDB's not up to scratch, so more Son, Kane. I think they're the only must-owns at the minute. And maybe Vardy as well, because he's in good form as well. So it will be interesting. But we'll move on to Arsenal. And they have three decent... Well, probably 2.5 decent fixtures in a row. It's... Simon, they obviously beat United and they pretty much dominated the game. But the lack of goals... I mean, has it made Aubameyang and the attacking talent unownable, but has that also led to the likes of Gabriel and Tierney and Christ, even Rob Holding? The Arsenal defence seems to be I don't even know if it's untapped, maybe we're just slow to it, but a bit of a goldmine at the minute.
Yeah, they're, like as I was kind of said before the pod, they're the best defensive team in the league, and I don't think anyone ever would have put Arsenal in that bracket. But fair play to Arteta. He's, I think it was maybe on one of the two-footed pods that Dave talked about how Arteta's main aim was to fix their defence first, which he's done. And I think the introduction of Thomas Partey has actually really helped that as well. He seems like a really good midfielder, and he's playing three at the back as well. I don't know if they're going to stick with that. That would be interesting. But while they're playing that, I think Bellerin of 5 million is a fantastic pick. He's playing that wing back role. He's fairly advanced. But on the flip side, as you said, they're not really creating a lot. So it's not like he's particularly making a lot of chances or anything. But I think he definitely just has the potential for some slight attacking returns, and I think Arsenal are going to keep a fair amount of clean sheets as well. So maybe Leno's even an option for anyone who's looking for a new goalie as well. And then Aubameyang, I just think, is so expensive for what he's actually offering. And there's not really anyone else in the attack that I'd go near. Saka, if he was nailed on, but it's the same thing with him, with Jota and Foden. You know, you're really just, and I think he has even less explosiveness. I mean, he's only scored one goal, but I think his stats are quite good. He seems to be playing well, but yeah, I would definitely avoid the attack unless we see a change in formation. If he moves away from that three at the back, then maybe. But yeah, I think it's just the defence seems to be quite a nice spot to look at the moment.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't touch Aubameyang with a barge pole at the minute. I mean, I haven't watched loads of Arsenal, but watching that United game, penalty aside, Arsenal just didn't threaten. I don't know, he's playing left wing, which on paper should free some space, like similar to our system, and it just hasn't. It just hasn't for me. If anything, it's like killed it. But it's just a strange one. But on them fixtures, they've got Villa, Leeds, and Wolves. It's just a bit of what if. I mean, Joe, what do you make of Arsenal? They've obviously got Villa next at home, and Villa, after a really good start, they don't look like it anymore. Leeds away, there's goals in that game, and Wolves at home. You're not sure which one of them will turn up.
No, I think if you are going to go and get one from Arsenal, the one I'd go and get would be Bellerin. He's 5 million as it stands. 12 points last week because he got the assist for the pen. Well, He made Pogba do a stupid, foolish thing, which he did. But he's also the top point scorer, I think, for Arsenal on 33, which is pretty surprising considering they got such a wealth of attacking talent. Yeah, he is. He's top point scorer. And Gabriel is second on 30. He's 5.1 million. So it lends to the defensive players if you're going to go for them. And I think with Bellerin, if I am going to get him, I just add him to the team of right backs that I've got, because I've got Lamptey, I've got Semedo, I've got Trent, I've got Walker Peters, and I've got Ferguson. So I just operate in the right back departments. But yeah, I think on the early season form, I think a lot of people were sort of tempted by Willian, but he seems to have just
died off,
gone back into his shell. Those three fixtures,
he did well against Fulham.
Yeah, but those three fixtures that you touch on, like Villa at home for Arsenal, in theory should be a win given what Villa have fell off the cliff in the last couple of weeks. Albeit they had a good fight back against Southampton, but I think Southampton pretty much put the pipe and slippers on and forced a 4-0. That's it, it's game over. Leeds, you don't know what you're going to get with Leeds, but goals will be in that game. And then Wolves, again, like the Wolves this season, a really odd team because they've only really lost Jota. And all right, we've spoke about how good he is, but they've lost nobody else really that I can think of, and they've added a couple of decent players, and the likes of Pedence and Neto have got a season under their belt in the Premier League and look a bit more settled. So it's just a really odd one with Wolves. I couldn't predict how they're going to get on from week to week. So maybe Arsenal are the sleeper team at the moment that a lot of people are overlooking, and I think if you are going to go for them, then maybe a defensive option. I'd estimate two clean sheets out of three there, given the way they're currently playing and the clean sheets that they've kept so far.
I could definitely see it, but at the same time, I could see them conceding all the games.
Yeah, I mean, it's easily viable, but I just think they've sort of battened down a little bit. You could see. I think in the time that we've played them, I think we played them, what, three times within 2 or 3 months, didn't we, over like the space of the end of last season, the Community Shield, and early on this season. And you can see the difference that Arteta's made to them already. And as you say, it was deemed his first job was to sort that back line out, and he's seemingly done that, so... I'm looking from an FPL standpoint, then I would probably go for one of the defenders, because they seem at the moment they seem like a team that are keeping clean sheets when not many other teams are. I think that maybe just because we're Liverpool and we don't keep clean sheets, so we sort of don't take notice of anyone else, but they are under the radar keeping clean sheets and doing well.
Yeah, and albeit I said I could see them conceding in the next three, I don't see their approach changing, because if they open up too much, we've seen, well, Emery and the end of Wenger, the defence will kill a manager. And I think success can come from a limited attack and a good defence, but if it's the opposite way around, I think that could cost... Not Arteta's job, but I think it'll undo the progress he's done on even players like Rob Holding and David Luiz. I know Luiz has always sort of suited a back three, but it's just... I think this is here to stay. Then obviously Tottenham the game after. It's...
That's... I don't know. That's anyone's game, Matt. Tottenham are week on weaker, so... So unpredictable as well.
Yeah.
So, for what the short term measure is, I think you'd probably bank yourself on the Arsenal defence.
Yeah, yeah. Defence go to if you got Aubameyang. Like, I know it's me saying this, but I think you're doing FPL wrong if you've got Aubameyang at this stage.
Well, he's only owned by
13.8% of people, so he's not.
I imagine a lot of them gave up on FPL the first week.
I think at the start of the season, I couldn't put the exact figure on it, but I'm sure he was in like the 40-odd percentage of ownership because he was a midfielder.
Yeah, I could see that. We'll move off from Arsenal, though, because there's loads of defensive options. Just Tierney's probably the most locked in, and Gabriel. So maybe pick one of them or a Bellerin. But we'll move on. And Simon, West Ham. They've got decent fixtures. They've got Fulham, Sheffield United and Aston Villa. But does the injury to Antonio change them being, well, having any options really, because you don't really want a defender, because even in this good form, they're still conceding a decent amount. As we mentioned before, well, it was during the recording, Haller wasn't that good against us, but maybe that'll improve with him actually playing more than once in 5 months or whatever it was. But what's your thoughts on West Ham and his players like Haller? Fornal seems to be in decent goal scoring form, and then who else is there? Jared Bowen may be a good option.
Yeah, I think Haller was awful versus us. Like, he didn't do his one thing that he's meant to kind of do. He pretty much lost every aerial battle, and he just didn't offer anything really. And I think, I don't have the stats, but listen to a few West Ham fans. They seem to be a completely different team from back to front when Antonio isn't in the team. So it seems to just affect the entire way that they play. So he was one that I actually really wanted to bring in for the match against Fulham. But obviously now he's injured and we don't really know how long. It doesn't seem to be any proper time frame on it, but it's being speculated at about 3 or 4 weeks. So I, even though their defence hasn't been amazing, I kind of do like Cresswell as a pick because he's just so advanced and he's taken a lot of free kicks. But I think like he's got quite a high score, but it's skewed a little bit. He had one match, the Leicester match, where he got 15 points, so I think that's kind of beefed up his score maybe a little bit, but he does seem quite advanced actually, and he's picked up 3 assists so far, but he is 5.1, so like he's not particularly cheap.
Masuaku left wing back.
Masuaku as well, yeah, because there was talks maybe that he wasn't nailed on, but I think now with Antonio out,
if they're playing free at the back, I think he'll play.
Yeah, definitely. And Kufal is also, so seems pretty advanced as well. I think just both those wing backs do seem pretty good. And I don't mind Bowen, but I just think their attack is quite blunted at the moment. So it's probably much like with Ings. I think for me, it's kind of like a wait and see. And also much like Ings, they have a really nice fixture this week. So that again makes it quite hard, because there's obviously a huge temptation to bring in anyone who's playing Fulham at home at the moment. So it's, if you had anyone, obviously hold them, but it's hard to know if you should really be bringing them in or not. I mean, I was actually tempted to bring Cresswell in this week, but I just think for 5.1, there's better options around that price.
Yeah, I'd maybe stick to the attacking talent. I think Masuaku, if you want, like we mentioned, nobody's keeping clean sheets at the minute. So if you want attacking returns, I think you could see that.
He's only 4.5 as well.
Yeah, you can easily rotate him out of the team as well. Bowen, I mean, Fornal 6.4, maybe a bit too much. Bowen 6.3, again, I could see gambles on both of them, but we mentioned Jota earlier on. You'd rather have Jota on over either of them. Who else we got? Suchek, everyone knows him.
Oh, I like Suchek as a player. Yeah. I have him at the moment, but it's just been very frustrating. He seems to get a lot of headers in the box.
Yeah.
But I mean, he just hasn't scored still.
Well, he is a gamble for you, Jert. Yarmolenko came on, played up front against us when Haller was struggling. What is he, 5'7"? He's on only 4 points, but that is a gamble, risk.
That's serious gamble territory.
Yeah, I like him as a player, but I think they've touched on this on one of his pods that it might have either been scouted or raw, that I think it was scouted, to be quite honest. He's just been not used correctly at West Ham. When you think of it, I seen him initially come through, I think it was Shakhtar, and then he went to Dortmund. Dortmund was where he sort of caught my eye. And he was sort of lived in Royce's shadow, but he was a player. He's got pace, he's got a hell of a left foot on him, and he's got decent movements. I mean, if anyone's seen him come on against Man City, he was having an absolute nightmare. But he did come on against us, and if Moyes is, this is a bold thing to say, if Moyes is smart, which he's not.
Come on.
But if he was...
On. I know it's called Fantasy Pod, but come on.
If he was smart, he'd go Benrahma, Bowen, Yarmolenko, and have pretty much like what we did last night, a rotating front three that can all play anywhere across that front three, right, left, and central.
Yeah. I think Haller could... against Fulham, like, Tim Ream's going to play centre-back.
Yeah, but then you're not just playing into what the trap that they did last week, where playing into Haller, you're playing against a nuts and bolts centre half who's just going to head them ball.
No, I understand that, but if you get people within 5 yards of him, I think it can work, and you can still play football. Mm. That's what he did at Frankfurt. You can still play football. Just don't be a I'm dropping into your level here. Just don't be boys and start pumping at 80 yards to him because he's tall. If it's the same with Joe Ellington, a tall player doesn't mean it's a target man.
No, maybe if you played Haller and you played Fornals, Benrahma, Bowen, often, or even Yarmolenko, and got people around him, then that then does seem like it'd be a logical option, but again, it's David Moyes. I think he may have just busted his chance because it doesn't seem to have worked at all, the whole move. I think he had a couple of games last year where it was sort of like, oh, this is the player they paid 40 million or something like that for. But I would go and get Benrahma and Yarmolenko in the team because you've got pace, you've got skill, you've got the unpredictability, and that's sort of what you get with Antonio. You get a bit more power than pace, and you've got the unpredictability. You can do something else and often. So you've sort of kind of got to replicate that if you are going to keep the form that they have got. And I think if there's any game to try something a little bit new, then Fulham at home is probably that game, and then going to Sheffield United the week after the first week after the international break, and then Villa at home. They're on paper three games where you'd probably say West Ham would be disappointed if they don't get at least 7 points from. And if they are going to try anything different, then now's the time with Antonio being out. And the whole caveat to all this is it's David Moyes, so it probably will not even happen. So this 5 minutes of the pod could just be a whole waste. But it was a nice discussion.
If Moyes gets sacked in the next week and they hire a good manager.
I mean, they've got the ability there. They've got a really good squad.
Yeah.
But get Alan Irving back.
He was doing a great job.
just send David to, I don't know, send him to Scotland or something and tell him to stay there. If you're Gordon Sullivan, that's the logical thing to do, is just get rid of him. But, you know, they're dinosaurs as much as Moyes, so I suppose it goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it does, absolutely. It does, absolutely. But move on from West Ham. Who do you want to focus on out of these? Because we're about 50 minutes and we've got to fit in the player picker segment. Spurs, Palace or City?
We'll quickly touch on Spurs and then probably go City, because that then ties us nicely into the player picker and City play us this weekend, so we can go from that.
Basically, all Palace was, they have good fixtures, but just buy, if you want coverage, buy Zaha. That's about it.
In the long and short, or maybe Michi.
I don't trust Roy Hodgson.
But
I wouldn't go near him.
No.
Yeah,
but anyway, Spurs. I mean, we've kind of done Son and Kane to death. Is there anything we want to add on from them or any other players? I think we mentioned Reguilón in the past, but then I think he was dropped for a game, wasn't he? And then he played the Europa League or whatever. It's a strange one.
Yeah, and I think the reason we probably highlighted Spurs was, if you're going to use your transfer that you've not got Kane or Son, then why not? Basically, it sort of then leads us again to the player picker section. They've got West Brom this weekend and they're bad, like really bad. So is there an argument to if use your triple captain? That was my little thing I was keeping once on side of. People used them at different times. People used them for double game weeks and stuff like that. But, you know, the form that these two lads are in, is there an argument to use your triple captain this weekend? And I've got Son. I won't be using my triple captain. I'm not going to use it yet. I sort of try and keep it for the double game week later on in the year. But for those who have...
I can't abide triple captain in Spurs players. I can't. Unless he's playing Fulham and West Brom in a double game week, I can't.
I'll find you a double game.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, there's not much else from Spurs. Maybe for me, Reguilón, but he got a red triangle, a yellow triangle illness, so he could not feature. I think we'll know more from tomorrow. Thursday, they play, don't they?
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, that was all.
I think he's reeled out of tomorrow's match with flu or something. So I don't know if he'll play or not, but it seems to be a little bit of a fullback rotation happening at Spurs again that we've seen before.
Yeah, I just don't see it beyond them two, really. Like,
no.
If Bale started starting games, then yeah. And obviously he's got the goal last weekend, so it's a good start. But I think we have to see Son, Kane and Bale as a unit before we bring in Bale.
Their fixtures turn really bad as well. So
yeah.
Like, see if like West Brom, and then they've got five or six even like really bad fixtures. So it's probably... Man City at home, Chelsea away, Arsenal home, Palace away, and then Liverpool away. Ooh. Like, that's actually, Palace away is quite a tough fixture, so that's the easiest of all of them. So, I mean, Chelsea away, I suppose, you could still see Kane or Son picking up some points across those fixtures, but I think for me, I'm probably going to get off all my Spurs after West Brom, I think.
Well, I didn't notice the fixtures, to be honest. Is that, I'll bring that to you, Jay. I mean, Kane does score in the big games. I'm not sure on Son, he probably does. But if you've got both of them, would it be safe to get off one of them then?
For the bigger games? I don't know. Because I'm just waiting for Kane to break down, personally. Like, he always breaks down at some point in the season with his ankle or his knee or something. Usually his ankles, isn't it, that go on. City is home and away don't really count, but City, Spurs, City, Chelsea, Arsenal. I think if you've got any, I'd probably go with Kane. Keep Kane and maybe Ben Son. I think if Jose being Jose was more likely to pack the midfield with midfielders, and Son would be the one who loses out.
I think you keep Son in. I think it's the fact that, for me personally, if we look at it from an FPL standpoint, Kane's value is not going to drop.
And no.
It may, if he bangs in these games, he'll just go up further. Whereas if Son goes up, what's his price now? What is Son?
9.6. So
you've got 1.4 million less to play with. Yeah. So if you lose Son and his value goes up, it's just going to be more difficult to get to it. Obviously, it will be for Son as well, but it's more obtainable.
Hmm. Yeah, and he's a midfielder on the game, but he's a striker by nature.
Exactly.
And there's plenty of midfielders about in the game, so you could conceivably, for those periods anyway, you could switch Son out and maybe go Rashford for those few games. Like, just having a quick look at the United fixtures over the next few weeks. They obviously go to Everton this weekend, and they've got West Brom, Southampton, West Ham, and then they play Man City. Then they've got Sheffield United and Leeds. So United aren't great this season, but Rashford is probably, I'd say, the most reliable for goals. You can't really rely on Martial. Cavani's not really got going yet.
Matt Martial back from suspension this game?
I think he is this week. Yep, he's no triangle on him.
Right.
And who's the other? But Bruno, unless he gets a pen, then he's not worth having. I think that's been well and truly highlighted this season.
Well, their away record's better than the home record. I mean, where are they playing?
This weekend they're at Everton.
Everton always love losing to United.
Yeah, but I think from the Blues are spooked to.
Halloween was last week.
Blues are spooked to in work. I've got Digne back because he had a one game suspension because his red card got rescinded to one game. Richarlison. And they think James will be back as well. So
Richarlison one more game?
One more game on Richarlison banned. So from what they had last weekend, those two obviously come in. You'd imagine then it only leaves him Richarlison and Seamus Coleman short of their full strength 11.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting game. But then that, I suppose, leads us nicely into our player pick selection for each weekend's fixture.
Woo!
And that is the first game on Saturday. However, there is games on Friday. So the first game is Brighton versus Burnley Sky Box Office. That's your £15 well spent, which would mean it's a 5:30 kickoff. So is that
half five on a Friday?
Four p.m. deadline. Yeah.
So people should make note of that. Really.
Does that mean that the press conferences will all be Friday, or will they?
No, not all of
them. Be tomorrow.
Theirs will be tomorrow. Missed them.
Okay.
Liverpool's will be Friday. Probably as normal Friday afternoon.
So we mightn't get a lot of injury news. It might be quite late, so yeah.
You just probably got to gamble.
Yep.
We've sort of snippeted down our last pod idea of picking a player from each team. So we just pick a key player from the game who you might be looking towards to gain you some FPL points. So Brighton Burnley, we'll start with. We'll go around the table. We'll start with you, Guy. Who would you pick out of that thriller?
It'd just have to be Lamptey, I think. It simply would. Just simply would be Lamptey.
Si, you the same?
Yeah, Lamptey. But maybe to mix things up, I'll say White or something. But no, I think it's got to be Lamptey, really. If he's fit now, I think he came off with a muscle injury. But, I mean, I think he's had that before. So
he's a young lad. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
I would go Lamptey myself because he cost me 9 points by sitting on my bench last week.
And Morpher seems to have been rumoured to have fallen out with Potter, hasn't he?
Does that now mean, is it Alexis McAllister then?
McAllister is an interesting, actually, yeah.
Someone else. Who's the other striker they've got?
Welbeck.
Welbeck. See, that's how good he is. We'll move on from that one. So Friday night ends with Friday night football on regular Sky Sports this time. Yeah. Southampton minus Danny Ings versus Newcastle. I will go first, and I will say my replacement for Danny Ings would be Callum Wilson, and that would probably be my pick for that weekend, for that fixture.
I could definitely see that. I'll back Shea Adams in this fight.
Sai?
Be different than go Ward-Prowse.
After his routing last weekend, I think he would pick up last weekend about 16 points or something like that.
Yeah, something crazy.
Cool. So, yeah, that nicely leads us into Saturday, 12:30, BTU Sports. It's Everton versus United. It's the one that I am not asked one bit who wins, because I can go into work and give shit to whoever's in there. Because I work with Everton and Man United fans. So, I would go Rashford. Just because he's the man of the moment for Everton. He's doing off the field, and he hit a hat-trick last week. Was it 20 minutes in the Champions League? I think he could be the one that troubles Everton, because he's got pace and Everton don't have pace at the back. So that's for me. So, Si, you would be your shout for that fixture?
I'm going to go with Fernandes.
Oh, fancy a pen?
Yeah, probably a pen or two.
Yerry Mina's a walking pen, isn't he?
Yeah, they're playing Everton, so they tend to be pretty filthy. So, yeah.
And Guy?
I'll go Calvert-Lewin.
You backing the man?
It's more about United's defence than about Calvert-Lewin. But if James is back, I think that'll help greatly. I mean, literally all he has to do is whip in a corner and one of Maguire or Lindelof will screw up. So, like, even if Sigurdsson's playing... why did I say Sigurdsson's a weirdly there? I went all fancy and it just backfired there. If Sigurdsson is playing... Even he's nowhere near as good as he was Swansea days, but if you can just get in one good corner, I'd back Calvert-Lewin to score. That doesn't mean I'd back Everton to win, but I think Lewin should get goals in this game.
Yep, I can see that. Well, we'll whiz through the rest of Saturday, because it's hardly very glamorous.
Yep.
So I'll fire the rest of Saturday's fixtures at you all at once, and then we'll come back with all three of them. So Saturday's 3 o'clock fixture is Palace at home to Leeds. The 5:30 is Chelsea at home to Sheffield United, and then Saturday night is rounded off with West Ham at home to Fulham. For me, Palace Leeds, Zaha personally, because I have him. Chelsea Sheffield United, I will have to back Werner, and then West Ham Fulham. I might go with one of size picks, and it would go with one of the fullbacks. So Masuaku would be my one from that. I just don't see much in that game of any enjoyments. So go on, Guy. Just fire those three quick names out from those three fixtures.
Bamford, because Palace can't defend anymore, and it's punishing me because I bought Sako and then he got dropped straight after. Poor Sako, who came out that UEFA for drug people ruined his career. God, Chelsea, Sheffield United. Let's say Mendy, because Sheffield can't attack. That's literally the analysis of that. So Sheffield will obviously score 12 goals now. God, West Ham v Fulham. If anyone pays for that, you're doing something wrong. I know this was meant to be quick, but this is a bad game. Mitrovic.
Because he's alive.
Yeah,
there is some poor fixtures this weekend on the whole. Si, can you wrap up any better on those three?
Go Zaha, Zajic, and Cresswell.
Cool. Right, so we do Sunday as a double bubble here. 12 o'clock, West Brom Spurs. For me, Son, for that one. And then Leicester Wolves. I'm going to back Jimenez to get off the score sheet this weekend. And then we'll move on to the league fixtures in a second. So, Si, two from those.
Harry Kane and Jamie Vardy.
The obvious choices.
Yeah.
Guy, are you going to go anything different, or are you picking something from those three that we've selected?
Carl and Grant.
I got this image in my head of like when they're doing the FA Cup draw and there's like 60 balls and you're just fishing around the bottom of the bowl trying to find the last ball.
Who's crap for Leicester? Luke Thomas. I'd say it jokingly, but Spurs probably will concede and it probably will be Carlin Grant, but screw it, I'll stick with him because it'll be funny when he obviously doesn't score. Leicester Wolves should be a good game. Vardy's the boring option. I'll say Pedence because he's in my team.
Wolves have got to do something.
Yeah.
And Leicester have got a fixture on Thursday night in the Europa League as well. Don't know who they've got because there's all sorts of teams
in
the
Europa League and nobody cares.
So then that brings us to the key fixture of the weekend, which is obviously Man City Liverpool Sunday afternoon 4:30. Everyone else knows that. And then the weekend rounded off with the double A's, Arsenal versus Aston Villa. So I fancy Mane to sort of do a bit of business this weekend. It's all been about Salah the last few weeks, and you know how competitive those two lads are. So I'm thinking Mane is going to boom this weekend. And then from Arsenal, Aston Villa, I'm going to back my earlier pick from the pod and say it'd be Bellerin. No. And then we'll go to you, Guy. Who's your one for the big one of the weekend?
Trying not to be boring and just say Salah, but I think it will be Salah. He's in too good a form, really. And Arsenal, Aston Villa. Gabriel.
Clean sheet.
Yeah. It'll be Gabriel v. Grealish, I think that's what it'll be.
Yep, so that means, Si, you're going Grealish and who else?
I'm going to throw out there Bobby.
I knew it.
And Aubameyang.
Well, Bobby's going to start, so it makes sense.
Bobby's going to have the best match of the season. He's going to score 5 goals or something crazy, or he's going to be absolutely awful. It's going to go one or the other. He's going to either be amazing or awful. He normally turns up in these kind of matches, so I'll back him to score one or two, I think.
Big game, Bobby.
Yep, hopefully.
Cool. So that sort of... We nailed that section about 7.5 minutes, I think.
Woo!
We need to get it down to 1 minute. Just bang.
Quick fire.
We can just skip half the games next week.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's it. Well, we'll finish on captain picks, actually, which I have not looked at once. GL, I'll start with you because you hosted that a bit. Who we got for captain?
At the moment, it's on Mane. And obviously, I'd have just given a little big up. But I think the logical thing would be to go to Son. And as of yet, I've not made any transfers. But looking at my team, I was going to save my wild card till after the international break. But I may go beforehand. But as it stands, I think it'll be Ings to Wilson. And then I'd just throw my captaincy on Son.
Yeah, for me, it's on Son at the minute and I haven't changed that. The only other option for me, really, is Werner against Sheffield United, but maybe I'll wait and see what Chelsea do tonight and then decide on that. I think Son's a safer bet, but I think Werner might...
Potential to boom.
Yeah. But I don't think Sheffield have been topped this season, have they?
No, they haven't conceded more than 2 goals in a match yet.
Might be Son then. Or I could go Rashford and he'll just score against Everton because they always do. Son's probably fairer, but Werner's another option. Simon?
I'm going to go Harry Kane.
nice and boring.
Love it. Penalties for
any triple captains?
No. Not for me.
Well, that's it. Hopefully, it's an international break, so we should find enough time to do one. Might be on the second week, so we actually can preview stuff that isn't 12 years away. But yeah, that is it for the show. So thank you two for joining me, and thank you everyone for listening along. Goodbye. Podcast Network.